Welcome to Amplified Podcast. This is episode 2.
It is.
Nice.
Brought to you by Amplified Team Training. Yeah, we did not practice that.
No, it's now with 10% more amplification.
Oh, man. What's today's podcast topic about?
So today, you know, I think we realized after talking for a while in the first podcast that maybe we should back up a little bit anyway and just talk about some of the basics, certainly that are on improv, but just about people's life and how they interact with each other. And that's getting me to that today's topic is around the power of yes versus the power of no. It's something certainly we use on stage, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit, but I think it's something that we all can sort of identify with in work, in personal life, in relationships, how we interact with each other and how we use yes and no can really affect teams, but also just like, hey, your relationship with a significant other or your family or your work environment.
Hey, no, I hate this topic. Let's change it.
All right, we're done. See, he shut it down. That's the power of no.
Point made. That was a great podcast.
Great podcast.
And
see you in episode 3. Where I'll be broadcasting by myself.
And Eric's done. Eric is out.
He's decided he doesn't want to do this anymore.
No, that's great. We should start, obviously, with the power of yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge because having gone through the training of improvisation, which cumbersome 2 years of going through, not cumbersome, the right word.
It
was great. Learning the fundamental root of the core of improv being yes and, right?
Yep.
And yes and in the way of, and you know this better than I do, being open to ideas.
Yeah.
And being able to add to those ideas and feel supported. So you have written skits, you've acted for years, you've trained hundreds of teams, if not thousands of corporate teams. What is it about the power of yes and? What is it that the core function of yes and doing for people in relationships?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly with yes and is a lot about how do you listen, how do you work off of someone else, how do you try to embrace an idea, or at least explore an idea. It doesn't mean you're going to execute it, but more explore an idea and involve that person. Okay. It doesn't mean you're going to take whatever they want to do and go with it and just do it no matter what. But it's more, if you
had a, I did. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's
and
all right.
Of course, we're going to...
cut me off.
I'm going to cut you off. Right. I'm going to pretend I'm not listening to you, yeah. And I'm going to disagree with you. No, the conversation that we're having in the way it works in my mind is like, damn it, you're right. You know, I think a lot of people, and when you say things, it strikes a chord with me, so I want to hit it.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of our listeners will hit on it. You know, this thought of idea building or teamwork in a relationship or in companies and a team, when an idea is presented, why is it that people, I know me personally,
yep.
I do it too. Why do we have such fear that when an idea is presented, I feel like I have to do it? Like if I agree to it, I feel like I've committed to it.
Yeah,
and
I don't
like,
know why that is, but I get it. It's risky. Like, oh, I support it. And if it doesn't work, I should. I think the other thing is, so I think that happens a little bit. I also think sometimes our knee-jerk reaction is no, because it's not my idea, or it wasn't exactly what I was thinking.
Right.
You know, it's funny. We do. It's just a warm-up exercise. I'm not going to get into the training, but this is just an improv exercise that all kinds of people everywhere who do improv do it. It's just a thing called word toss, right? Where you just throw out a word and someone reacts to it, right? And they just, whatever that makes them think of. And it struck me recently, I'm like, if you do that, how many times if I say day, what do you say?
Night. Damn it. Shit.
Or if I say right, you say
wrong.
Wrong. Or if I say great, you say bad. I mean, it's interesting how much
we're
almost
wired.
We
didn't write that, did we?
No, we didn't write that. But it's interesting how much we're wired almost to like to take the defense a little bit. And I think as well part of, you know, not to delve into corporate culture too much, but I also think part of it is it's easier to say no. You know, it's not risky. I can say nah, because you know what? Then we don't venture down that road and it's not no big deal. Right? So it's easier sometimes to say no, but it doesn't lead to great ideas. It doesn't lead to breakthrough ideas, and we'll get into it in a second. Probably it destroys the team, it destroys the relationship ultimately.
Right. Let's table the power of no.
Okay.
But let's and sorry, because I took us down there and my bad. But take us back to the power of yes, like the yes and.
Yeah.
I heard I have to accept somebody's idea. We call it in an improv. We call it an offering. Right. You come up, you make an offering. I have to accept an idea, and I think a lot of our listeners, I think people in general, like, either they take the immediate defensive or they're afraid to commit to that idea because there's fear that they have to execute on it. That aside, saying yes and, what is the basis of that and continuing?
So the basis of the idea is, like, look, that I'm listening to you and that I'm working off of you. I can still come with my ideas. It's almost sometimes it's like, look, so, you know, I've even done a lot of work with the Harvard School of Negotiation, a lot around the power of negotiation, and we've even gotten into this quite a bit with them. You're right, we do call it an offer or an offering, either one, but the idea is when you put your offer out there, if my initial instinct is to say yes and I add to it, we're finding common ground. It doesn't mean I got to put my idea and throw it aside, but it might alter my idea a little bit. But you know what? It might make my idea even better.
Interesting.
I think, and the other thing that sometimes happens in improv is like, you have your idea, I go ahead and say yes to it, but I add my thing and it takes your idea in a direction you didn't think about. And so your natural inclination to say, no, that's not really what I was talking about. You know, there's always, when people first start improv, they always have to fight that inclination to fight the other person on stage.
It's an ego. Does it stem from the, well, no, I should
I think
say
it's an ego, but it's more, or it's more like, oh, here's my idea, or I've got something I want to say, or I got something funny I want to do, rather than we can find this together, and you know what, we can probably find something better than I would have just done on my own, if I allow myself to, it doesn't mean I'm just giving up my idea, but it more means I'm open to it shifting a little bit.
Right.
You know, with improv, especially when we do improv and sketch comedy, in the improv part, it's great to let it fly. Like, but if we then go back and then make it into a sketch that's a written piece that we're not sort of making up off the top, we can then go back and say, well, when we went off in this direction here, maybe we shouldn't have. Or we can hone it down. But in the moment, if we do that, the great idea never comes through. And we never even get something to even talk about having a sketch about because we're just sitting there fighting.
Right.
You know, it's something when I first teach level one students, it happens a lot. They just sit and they start fighting because it's that natural inclination of like, oh, I can say something funny off of defending my standpoint rather than can I explore something different with you and find something better. So.
Yeah. Very interesting. It's I must.
Yes.
Yeah. that was just a brain fart on my end. But in the one of the things I think has been valuable for me as an individual is that I'm you've known me for a while, and sometimes I'm pretty mentally stubborn, not like overbearingly stubborn, but I'm like, no, I hang on to my ideas.
Yeah.
And I think improv has actually helped me.
No, yeah. I'm not saying that, but
yes, Eric, you
that
are.
That is, well, it's the power of yes. I'm agreeing with you. I'm not saying no to you.
Yes.
No, yes. No,
I can't work with you anymore. Episode 3.
Not that you're not. I mean, we're both stubborn in our own ways in that way. But it made me think of something, but I won't cut you off. That was my yes. I wasn't agreeing that you're stubborn. I was thinking, oh, yeah, that's right.
No, I feel like, and I've seen it in corporate America. I've seen it with clients. I've seen it in my own teams. There's such an assertiveness to get my idea across, get the my way or the highway.
Yeah.
And it's tough because when I became a manager, it was.
I think that's when people struggle with it the most.
And management is difficult. Management's very difficult, especially when you have a very diverse team. I had people younger than me, older than me, local, remote, like all over the map. And that was very challenging. I had a. People, when I got promoted, I was just like, yes. So my first thought was, I'm going to tell these people what to do because I do it great.
That's one way to do it.
Not true. And if you're listening and you ever worked for me,
he's very sorry.
Let us know and tell me if I was that overbearing and not much of an ass. No, but what was interesting, I was like, how do I put, there's an ego. I think it does stem from an ego. Like, I did great. Now it's time for me to show people how to do great. And I think we'll have a whole nother topic on culture and like good management styles or strong management styles that don't say, no, your idea sucks. We're gonna do my idea the highway.
Right.
Right. How do I step away from that ego as a manager?
I think it's more than just ego, though. So just so I can cut in for a second. I've thought about this as well. And I think some of
I didn't want you to lose your idea.
Right, right. The yes was something by else, me rambling, too. Yeah. Now. So here's another thing about that. I also think managers struggle with it because when we first enter the workplace, usually we're valued for our output, right? For our ideas. Like, did we execute it? Did we do it? So, like, you're in a position where you're performing or you're not performing, right? And so if you're performing, you're now considered management material.
Mm-hmm.
But now you still, like, you've been so rewarded for what did I do, that you're kind of still in that mode. Rather than as a manager, how do I get my team to perform better? Because that's how I'm going to be assessed as a manager. But my mind is more still saying like, oh, it's a little bit ego, but also like I've been rewarded for my ideas, so I still got to have my ideas win. My ideas have to win.
Yeah.
Rather than I need to encourage and create other people to be able to do that and succeed.
Yep.
Because they don't have to do it my way, but they've got to find success. So how do I create that environment? Does that make sense? So like, I think it's more than just ego. It's also like I'm so used to being rewarded for my ideas that I feel like I still have to push my ideas.
It's nurtured.
Right.
It's nurtured by a corporate environment. Shameless amplified team training plug for us, because me coming from sales with a sales background and sales management, we've seen and one of the biggest values is to do a sales kickoff or sales QBRs, because it's very hard to be a sales manager when each individual has their own goals, but and you almost want to manage everybody differently, which is true, different personalities, those personalities. But how do you get how do you realize the output when the team is working together, when they are yes-anding each other with support, when they're yes-anding your direction as a leader? And that's what makes our training very valuable for sales and marketing teams to be on the same page and march to the beat of the same drum and share ideas.
Here's the thing I said yes to quickly. I said yeah, it wasn't that you're stubborn. It was more...
Yes.
I think this is sometimes, and we're going to probably have a whole thing on the misconception of yes and what yes and means. But it's a little bit of preview of that. So I think sometimes people think, oh, yes and means I've got to give up my ideas. And it doesn't. You know, it's more the theory behind yes and is that I'm open to hearing other ideas, seeing how my idea fits in and shapes a new idea.
Right.
Now, I can do that very altruistically and very like, oh, let's find something together and let's... Or I can also, if I am stubborn... It at least means I'm just going to at least listen to you. Because even if I think you're full of shit and your idea is not good, I might find something in there that's like, you know, well, I think that's crazy. But that, what you're saying, actually I can use to make my idea better.
Interesting.
So I can even use it, because I used to do this in advertising. And this is not now a plug for what I did in advertising. I get promoted kind of quickly in advertising. And here's the secret. It was not because I was coming up with these, like, because I'm some advertising genius or where I was.
Don Draper.
I was
established
Draper.
That in episode
That's
one.
Right. It wasn't because of that. It was because, yes, I would come into those meetings ready to say what I think we should do and ready to fight for why I thought.
But did you deliver it right away?
I didn't. Sometimes I did. So, and we can talk about structuring a meeting in a little bit. But the way that Lear Burnett structured stuff, I thought was great for first-time workers. But anyway... it was more that if it comes to me, I'm ready to talk about what I think we should do. But I'm not just going to sit there while other people are talking, thinking about this. When it's my turn, I'm going to say this, I get that, I get this, I got to review. I'm going to instead know that I know what I'm about to say, and I'm going to listen to everybody else. And if there's anything I can co-opt off their idea, or I'm going to read where the energy was and what the client really popped to, I'm going to actually take that and try to make my idea better so that we even have a better idea. I don't know if I'm expressing it very well, but it's more, you can use it to, like, the idea is you're being more present and more in the moment, and you're not just sitting on your idea waiting for your turn to talk.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, the age-old saying, you were given 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason.
Right.
To listen twice as much as you speak. I think it's a very hard skill, is what I meant by me being a stubborn stubborn-minded person is like it's a muscle that I've had to exercise and work out to get better at it, so that I'm confident in my ideas, but you gotta step aside the ego. You have to have a little bit of patience and take it. Like you said, it came clear as day to me. I hope it did to our listeners, that be confident in what you know, but be open to what other people know. Because tell us more. Talk a little bit more about what happens when you engage this yes and philosophy. What comes of it?
Well, I think it opens
for teams.
Yeah, for teams or even in own your own relationships. I mean, how many times has someone said, "That's not what I said. You're not listening to me. That not to you." That's too open. That's an open question to all of our listeners.
Just the way you looked at me.
But I looked at
you.
I kind of penetrated. Yeah, kind of happens a lot, right? People say that a lot. I think the idea around yes and it, and I've got it. It's interesting because I do it a lot too. Look, I'm much better at when I'm on stage and using it as a skill set to be funny.
Build a scene.
To build a scene and do all that. And sometimes I have to remind myself that off stage as well. Mm-hmm. But so for teams, I think what it does is it opens up trust. It opens up the idea that I can put an idea out there and people are not just going to cut my head off. They're going to listen to it.
Yeah.
They're going to maybe explore it. And it may, because they know it may lead to another idea.
Yeah.
They don't have to necessarily execute the one I came up with. But if I get you thinking, or if I'm allowed to say my crazy idea, or my here's just a thought starter, or whatever, it lets other people maybe come up with more ideas too. I also think just in personal relationships, we were talking about this a little bit, I think I have to remind myself of a lot, just because I have kids, right? And so I think sometimes your knee-jerk reaction with kids is just, no, you know, because they're always trying to, whatever. An example I thought of was, there was one time we were driving and we were in traffic and, you know, nobody's happy.
Are we there yet?
You know, can I eat? I'm hungry. And all we've got is, like, stuff that's going to make a mess. And it's just, you know. And your initial instinct would be like, no.
Sing.
Like,
oh, no.
Yes. we all stopped the car and caused a traffic jam. Yeah. We did a live version of Annie in the Street. No.
Wasn't singing.
Not singing.
Sorry.
What we realized, though, is I initially found myself saying, you know, no, you can't have that. Yeah. Stop. We're going to be there when we get there. You know, all these negative no types of things, right?
Right.
And then I realized, why? You know, or yes and. Like, yes, can we have something to eat? And I realized we're 5 minutes away from a Rainforest Cafe. Not that I'm a huge fan of
Rainforest Cafe. I don't even know what that is, but that's
fine. It's like a theme restaurant, kind of, like, for kids around the rainforest.
Okay.
So... Cool. So, potential sponsor.
Yeah.
But more knowing, like, oh, the kids, they've never been. They get a kick out of it because they like animals and all that stuff. It's a five-minute diversion of where we are. We're going to be sitting in traffic for over an hour listening to, like, the traffic reports. And so instead of taking that negative situation where everybody's saying no to each other, just took reframing things, saying, you know what? Yeah, what if we could eat?
Yeah.
And what if we could do something better than what we're doing in the car right now, and turn this night into one that we always remember, which is, remember that time we got stuck in, and instead, on the spur of the moment, we went to the Rainforest Cafe, we had a blast while traffic cleared out.
Yeah.
Once we get back in the car, there was no traffic, and everybody was happy. Like, it turned a very negative situation into something positive, and it's more, you know, of course, we had to spend money, so there was that, but there was more the idea of, I remember consciously thinking, I've just said no to my kids like five different times, just out of frustration and out of hoping they'd just be quiet and we would just power through this thing.
Yeah.
But that's not what I do when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
That's not what I do when I talk with corporations and my family. I mean, they're a unit. We're a team, right?
Yeah.
So why am I dragging everybody down when I might be able to think of what's a positive outcome of this thing?
Yeah. I used to go to my marketing team and say, guys, I want to do this event. I need $2,000 to do this event.
Yeah.
We're going to get in front of some CIOs or VPs and whatever the case may be. And it's going to be, I don't know, whatever. It's just the idea.
Right. Here's the idea. Yeah.
And majority of the time it's like, oh, there's no budget. Right. Or no, we already have our events planned. I see this a lot in not just tech companies that I've worked for, but a lot of companies where, like, I've even seen it at the executive level saying, like, hey, our customers are saying this. Go ahead and crack it.
Yeah, let's, I got to crack it.
Sound,
sound it's going to sound like I'm drinking, but I'm just drinking an energy drink.
Brought to you by Monster Energy.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
Or Red Bull. I won't say which one.
Or Red Bull. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
Yeah.
We're open to sponsorship.
Yep.
This could really be any energy drink, right?
Let's not pigeonhole it.
And so rude of me to interrupt. I'm
yes.
sorry.
Yes. No, it's okay. But the thought process is like, you know, going to, I see this all the time, going to Ask Marketing for funds to do an event.
Yep.
Going to attend a thing. Going to tell marketing or having marketing tell sales, hey guys, this is our message. And I've heard sales teams be like, no, that's not our message. That's not what our customers are saying. Customers about our product or about our competition. Or, and there's no even willingness to sit down. And I think we're starting to transition to the power of no, which we'll get to. But this is where companies struggle, and this is where there's a lot of breakdown early on. And when you break down, when you can't say yes and can't build an idea properly, you don't build that trust. You don't build that collaboration, and you don't make progress as a company, which is, I think, what drives both of our passions for a lot of this.
Completely. And look, I think no is an even more negative and destructive power, and that's probably why we cycle around to it, and we can get to it in a second.
Yep.
But even your example about, okay, the marketing party you wanted to do, right? Yep. We're going to marketing saying, hey, I want to do this party. It'll get us in front of these CIOs, CFOs, yep. whoever. It's going to cost a couple $1,000s, right? And they say, no. We don't have it in the budget, right? Yep. So I guess that's saying no to you. And the other thing is, so that makes you frustrated.
Yeah.
You think they're short-sighted because my $2,000 could lead to $1 million, whatever, and it's a huge contract.
Yeah.
And they always crush my ideas. So you do one of two things. You either just think they're idiots, or you then stop giving ideas, or you figure out a way to just cut them out of the process because they're the people in the way.
Aha.
So I'll figure out another way to do this thing. You know?
I did option two and three.
So,
I stopped going to them, and
sure.
then I tried to find a way
figure
around
out a different way to do it. Right. So, if they had thought about it,
how do I do
though,
it without
right?
their involvement?
Right.
Because
you don't want it, and you don't even want them there.
Right.
If they even thought about it and said, like, oh, that would be, like, I understand it would be great to get in front of those people. Right now, our budget is tapped. How else can we figure this out?
Right.
You're at least now, they're not saying, like,
heard.
Yeah, here's the whatever, but you've been heard. Now maybe you come up with a.
Yeah.
Well, if, you know, I book this place, I can probably keep the cost down here, or maybe there's another budget that I can pull from. Like, you're going to try to
get another vendor.
Or another vendor.
To co-sponsor.
Co-sponsor it.
Do a backflip.
Totally. And now you've got a great idea that works, rather than they think you're an idiot because you're proposing stuff that they're already past their budget. You think they're an idiot because they're completely short-sighted, and you're both entrenched in no.
They did think I was dumb. No, I'm kidding. Hey, I got an idea for you.
Yeah, okay.
And yes. let's spitball. Let's spitball it for our audience so that they maybe kind of understand it. Let me see. Let's make a company about lollipops that we dip in out of confectionery sugar.
Yeah, that's a great idea because people love sugar. We should have it where they can dip it into any number of things that they like.
Wow, like chocolate or Jimmy's and like a lollipop
like
bar.
A lollipop
bar.
Oh
my God, that's brilliant.
And we could probably partner with like a lot of the like the sugar store candies, like now I think there's one called Sugar or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe partner with them and say, can we come in almost like a food truck thing?
Yeah. We can get like
introduce the concept.
A sweetheart spokesperson who's like America's sweetheart.
Who's America's sweetheart right now?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
What's the Markle, Queen of England? And we messed up because we went way outside
US
of A.
The thing is this. Like, look, we were just riffing.
I almost said
completely riffing.
Okay.
But, like, look, that led to, I could say, like, so I could have said.
Jet, I have an idea. We should do a lollipop business that we can dip in. What was it? Confectionery sugar.
That would be so sweet. No one would like that.
Too much sugar. God damn it.
Diabetes is a problem.
Well, shit, yeah. You squashed that fast.
Yeah, or just like, or like, yeah, we should also open up a fruit bar. Like, that has nothing to do with what you just said, right?
That's another topic for another day.
Whole other topic.
But what
I
is
think
that
what
topic?
Getting, and that's more, that's the misconception of yes
misconception
and. Because it didn't
yes
really let yes and here. Where the first one is, look, we very quickly, right, and that idea explored to candy vendor trucks.
Yeah.
Like, if food trucks are big, why not have a food truck that shows up and it's candy?
Million dollar idea.
Pull up next to the ones, they're all serving stuff, and so you're the dessert truck.
The cookie monster.
I know.
Oh man.
But like you could do one around candy, right? Or the idea of people customizing their lollipops. That could be a big idea. We may have had three or four big ideas right there that was not even your thought.
No.
When you said, I don't know, a lollipop with confectioner sugar on it, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm at least open to it, and we may find that some of them are cost, like they cost too much or won't work or people don't want that. But I've at least embraced your idea, and even if we don't execute any of them, you felt like, man, I was heard and we almost came up with $1 million idea.
Or a few million dollars that we can explore together further.
We retain all intellectual property rights over the next We'll trace it back to your IP address if you launch anything like that.
Good luck. Have fun. We don't care. Yeah. We're trying to build amplified team training here. But let me tell you, I felt like dog shit when you said no. When you're like, no, too much sugar. Mothers are going to not... They're going to hate it because they're not going to give their kids that much sugar. Well, damn it.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I immediately felt... Well, fuck you. Excuse my language.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I swear, but then I have a hard time with the fact that I did it. Well, Chet, fuck you. I'm going to take my idea to somebody else. Yeah. I'm going to take my next idea to somebody else.
Or I'm not even going to tell you my next idea because you don't care enough to listen to me. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Wow, I don't like you anymore. I don't want to be in the same room. I got to go.
But remember, let's go back to the first one. We got a candy truck organization.
But this is crazy because this now... hits on the power of saying no.
And it's a big power. It's a big power. Huge. Think about power. People you work with, right? Where people, I've had people say to me, don't go to that person. Go to their boss or go around them or go to another part. Don't go to legal. Don't go to compliance. Don't go to whatever because they're going to say no.
Nobody wants to go to legal.
Or I've also just sat around a room where like nobody's given an idea because they're all afraid to say it because they all know people are going to jump on it and say no.
So I worked for a boss as a sales manager who, one, would only want to hear himself speak. Like, our team calls were 40 minutes long, and it was 38 minutes of him talking at us.
That's great.
And it was painful. And it was palpable amongst the team of how bad our team calls got. And then it got to a point where he kind of recognized that he was just the only one talking. He's like, all right, we're going to try to open it up. And he asked questions. The first two people that spoke up got their ideas shot down, and they tried to mask it. Like, there's a way you can mask saying no. Like,
right.
I think people realize how powerful it is to say no. We met with one client. They were like, yeah, that person that is in the meeting that says, not to be play devil's advocate, there's always somebody who friggin' says that.
Yeah.
And that's a very, like... easy, lighthearted way of saying, I'm going to completely disagree with you.
Yeah, right.
Right. Let's not sugarcoat it. No pun intended to our previous story about sugarcoated lollipops. But
sugarcoats, that's going to be the name of our...
Can you restate the whole legal jargon there?
Yeah, that's right.
But he said no to the first two ideas. Not a single person for like weeks on end after that spoke up.
And why would they? And
the thing is, absolutely not.
Here's the thing, even if those two ideas were not great ideas, you have now squashed maybe
hopes.
5 or 10 ideas that you
great
will
ideas.
Never hear because it's not worth my time and effort.
I'm an ideas man, Michael.
Yeah. Well, right.
What was that from?
That's from The Office, maybe?
Arrested Development.
I'm an ideas man, Michael.
Job,
but you're right.
Job, one of the best characters on TV.
And, again, I'm not going to get into so much what we do about the training and everything, but there's a lot that we get into when we work with companies and just even in when we teach classes around there is a power of saying yes and a power of saying no, and it's not that yes should always be said.
Right.
Because clearly we even work with, like, you know, at-risk youth sometimes around that there's a strong power of saying no and standing up for yourself and not be railroaded or, you know, not be kind of doing things you shouldn't be doing. It's more the idea is, you know, one of the things we sometimes boil down to is if you can say yes when you can, but say no when you have to, there's a power there of maybe even thinking about how you live your life or even in relationships, right? Like if I have a chance to say yes to my spouse or my kids, or why wouldn't I say yes? Because it empowers them and it connects us and it makes us better as a team and it fosters their growth.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say yes to everything. Certainly as a parent, like some of the ideas they have, okay, they're going to hurt themselves, right?
Yeah.
And even then, I can say no, but I can say why I'm saying no. Mm-hmm. Not just say, no, we're not going to do that, but say like, yeah, I understand that you really want to do that and you want to have, you know, you want to have that through right now. I don't think it's safe for us. Let's do this instead and find an alternative.
Right.
So
now, is that the appropriate time? Like, the appropriate time to say no? Because you said there is an appropriate. I mean, there's always a very good time to say yes.
Yeah.
But there's also an appropriate time to say no.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of executive leaders and a lot of managers struggle with that balance for sure. Understanding that balance. When is an appropriate time to say no to people? Or what's a good way of saying?
Yeah, that? I think a lot of it comes down to decision making time, right? It's like, do I have time to do this? Are we because we're in the crunch? I might not be able to say yes, and let's explore all these different ideas, right? If I'm going to come as someone now, I might just say like, I appreciate what you guys are doing. We can't do that right now. I'm making the decision. Here we go.
Yeah.
And then later we can process. Here's why I did that. I want to hear ideas for the next quarter or whatever, but I had to make a decision to move on.
But you gave me an opportunity to come up with a bunch of different business ideas for lollipops. And then let's say you were my manager or whatever. And you're like, okay, you supported my ideas. I felt heard. I felt motivated, to be honest, to think of more ideas.
Right.
But then it ultimately comes down to, we have to make a decision.
We got to execute. Let's go.
Yes. Yeah. But you've involved me in the process. And I think with a lot of leaders, like if there are, this gets deeper into like, when do you involve your employees in a decision-making process and when don't you? When can you let them be influencers into the direction that you're going? And that's usually empowering, but there is still that, and managers have to know, okay, now it's, like you said, crunch time,
I got to make a decision, go. But if I've set up that environment where I've encouraged you and studies have actually shown, If I felt like I've been heard and you've heard my idea, I will support your decision even if it goes against what I suggested. Because I feel like you heard me, you considered it, and so I feel part of the process.
Yes.
Rather than if I was just told, nope, we're not going to do that, I don't feel part of the process. And so now, if anything, I'm looking for all the different ways that your idea is wrong.
Right.
Rather than trying to support it and be like, well, I still think we should have done it this way, but I understand that we're not, maybe next time.
And you as a manager, when you say no, but you've involved your people, you've listened to their ideas, you've made them feel heard, you can say no and justify it with your team or compliment the no with appreciation and effort.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are other things that go along saying no.
I think so.
That you're like...
And I also, I don't mean to cut you off, now I'm getting worked up. I also give you, if you're my manager and you say no, but you've created an environment where you have said yes and you've listened to me, I'm more likely to give you the slack on that no.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why you did it, because you're the type of guy that listens to ideas and involves the team and tries to find the good ideas. So if you're saying no right now, there's a reason for it.
I can feel good about you saying no. Or you can feel good about me saying no. Because you're like, hey.
Because I'm like I know you're not just saying no. Maybe there's something I don't know about or I know he's going to cycle around later and tell us why.
That's it, yeah.
He had to do that, you know, or that was the decision. Rather than just, he's just this jerk that always says no.
Because no can be very powerful. I think that's one of the things that is hugely valuable when we work with companies is helping teams recognize, one, the basic value of saying yes, and it helps idea building.
Yep.
The exercises we take people through gets them excited, gets them inspired, gets them feeling the way I just did around the whole candy, you know, lollipop thing.
Yeah.
When you supported it, and we do that on a much larger scale. And I think for managers, leaders, or executive teams that are trying to lead a company and take a company forward, those ideas are gold. Those ideas help the company move forward. But there's also that appropriate time to say no and how to say no effectively.
Yes, how to keep them on your side.
Right.
We may even dedicate a whole episode as to how to say no effectively.
Yeah.
Because there's an art to doing it where you keep either a client or your employees or whoever it is.
Yeah.
But I can say no, but I can keep you on my side even if it's a hard no.
Yeah.
I can do it. And that's a teaser for another podcast.
No, absolutely. And coming up, what do we got coming up for future podcasts?
Well, I think one of them might be around, and we touched on, we sort of got in some areas of it, but I think the misconception of yes and, because I think
that's
more
huge.
And more like yes and is out there now, is like, okay, this concept.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, or like this thing that improv or whatever. But I think there are some misconceptions with what it actually means
with
what people think about it. So I think that's probably maybe the next one or one of them in the next couple
of
months.
How to say no effectively.
Yep.
One of the things we talked about too, and I know you and I spitballed on it, is the power of yes and in negotiations.
Oh, yeah.
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 and a lot to come. So stay tuned, guys. Follow us on AmplifiedTeam.com. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. We got to get all of our handles and shit together.
We do.
Yeah.
Follow us on anything you can follow us on.
Follow us. Just Google Amplify. We'll find it. No, but eventually, when you get to our website, we'll have everything up there for you to connect. And appreciate you guys listening.